Can you imagine a world without bread, chocolate, cheese, beer or wine? Well, we can thank fungi for all of these things. And if you picked up the April edition of the National Geographic, you will see it announced the inclusion of fungi for the first time in their definition of wildlife. Edinny Launa spoke with the force behind this inclusion, Juliana Forci, a mycologist and a National Geographic explorer.
Hello, good morning, Aina. It's lovely to speak with you. I'm very well, thank you.
You have suddenly realised on the National Geographic that fungi are wildlife. What did you think they were before?
Well, fungi have traditionally been excluded from definitions of wildlife, which only included plants and animals. And this was a gross oversight. So what we're seeing now, actually, is a very time-worthy moment for fungi to be included in this macroscopic definitions of kingdoms of life.
So actually, what has been done is that we have flora and fauna. And if we're studying the flora, we know that we're going to be studying the flowers of an area. If we're studying the fauna, we're going to be looking at the animals. And now there's a new word, the fungi. And the fungi are actually all the mushrooms, all the basidiomycetes, all the fungi, in other words, that are in an area. And they are considered to have equal importance to the flora and the fauna.
Yes, that is correct. It was only in 2018 that we delimited the term fungi to be used alongside fauna and flora to refer to macroscopic life on Earth. Before that, fungi didn't have a word equivalent to fauna and flora. And by delimiting that, what we've done is invite organizations and countries to be inclusive of fungi in their conservation policies, biodiversity plans, and in their definitions.
Because, of course, fungi live a different life to plants and to animals. We're told roughly, you know, that plants make their own food by photosynthesis and animals eat those and respire out the waste products. But your fungi are sort of a halfway house, as it were, because they a lot of them live in a very close relationship, in a symbiotic relationship with plants, which means that they have a very close relationship with the roots. They can use the sugar that the plant has got from photosynthesis, benefiting itself. And on the other hand, then it has the railway system, it has all the transport system, so it's able to help the plant access stuff that comes in through their roots, which of course is water and nutrients. So they're kind of a halfway house, if you like, between how the plant can take in stuff from the atmosphere and how it can grow in the soil. So they have a very, very important role to play. And not only do they just benefit the plants, we see huge benefits to us humans. In fact, I would go so far as to say if there were no fungi, there wouldn't be any humans on Earth either.
That's correct. And I would say that more than a halfway house, they are actually the essential base of any house. In the kingdom of the fungi, we don't only have mushrooms, there are yeasts, molds, lichens, mushrooms, conchs or wood ears, and many, many other thousands of types of organisms. Fungi are a kingdom of life in their own right. They are neither plants nor animals. Their cell is different, and the way they obtain energy is different, as you have mentioned.
So we've always had a relationship with fungi, whether we actually knew it or not. Some very basic things that we read about in the Bible, such as changing water into wine. Fermentation and alcohol depended on brewer's yeast, on yeast, in fact, wild yeasts, in order to actually ferment into alcohol. And of course, yeast was also used then to produce carbon dioxide to raise bread. So long ago, thousands of years ago, people were getting the benefits of that particular yeast without ever even knowing that it was a fungus.
Absolutely. In fact, fungi are responsible for plants being able to live outside of water. So many, many, many millions of years ago, when life emerges from an aquatic ecosystem to conquer terrestrial ecosystems, plants and fungi do that in a profound symbiosis. Plants aren't able to synthesize the nutrients from soil by themselves. And to be able to do that, they formed a very essential alliance with fungi, and in this interchange of nutrients and water and energy to be able to live on land. And in fact, fungi are more closely related to animals than to plants, even though many think that they are more closely related to plants.
How do you make that out? How are they more related to animals?
So when we look at relationships in the living world, we look at the most common, the most recent common ancestors. And animals and fungi share a common ancestor called the opisthokonta or the opisthokonts. Now, this is a type of organism that is a single cell with a posterior flagellum. And it's exactly like the sperm cell that mammals have. Now, both animals and fungi have this type of organism at the base of their tree of life. And that's where they divide and form these separate kingdoms of life.
This is absolutely riveting stuff to think that they have such ties closely with animals and with the plant world. Because when people think of fungi nowadays, we tend to think, what can it do for us? Or what's it going to do to us? What's the good and what's the bad? And of course, the good are all of the things that we know, bread, cheese, penicillin, anti-cancer compounds. But we also think of people suffering ill effects from fungi. And so really, when you talk to people about fungi, they tend to think of it as a baddie rather than a goodie. Why has it got such a bad press, fungi?
Fungi traditionally have had this stigmatization for different reasons. First of all, they were demonized because they had these abilities that you mentioned. For example, altering states of mind or decaying. So fungi recycle organic matter through a process of decomposition. And we tend to associate them to death, disease, and decay, the three Ds that I like to call them. But actually, what they do is that they make life as we know it possible. These same abilities of, for example, fermenting, to preserve food, is the same process that can be associated with decomposition or rot and decay. And there's been a lot of stigma about them for this ability to transform, but only looking at the fact that they will decompose one organism and not at the fact that they are actually making composition available to several other organisms.
Juliana Percy, thank you so much for joining us on The Mooney Show.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much indeed.